I'm Candace Michelle, and we are here doing a special podcast for our community. And I am sitting with Carolyn Milliman and Curtis Wolgamuth. Did I get your name right, Curtis?
Yes, you did, Candace.
Yay, all right. and we're here to talk about the 100-year celebration of the Central Building here in Brookings. And Carolyn, I know that it has to be at least 3 years now since I saw you, I think, in council chambers, and I remember you standing up and saying that you were going to do a celebration for the Central Building in 2015, and I remember thinking at the time, 2015? That's, like, way in the future. But here we are. So it went a lot faster.
Yes, it's already here.
Yep.
And we're having this weekend, this Saturday especially. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, it started with getting with Eldon Gossett.
Mm-hmm. And he owns the Central Building, right?
Eldon Gossett owns the Central Building.
Mm-hmm.
And we got together and decided to do a celebration. I had seen the plaque on the building. There's mm-hmm. a plaque that's on the building that's stating that it's historical, and so yeah. that interests me, and I knew the building was getting older, and then it said 1915, so that's 100 years ago.
And
so
something clicked in your brain.
Yeah,
good.
So, yeah.
Excellent. So you've been planning this really for 3 years then?
Yeah, we have a beautiful committee, mm-hmm. and they've been working real hard, and we've been meeting for 3 years. Daughter Jennifer White, she's on it, and Gary, Curtis, Rosalie. We have quite a few more people on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And so
this building is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it is. It's an amazing building. I remember first coming to this town in 2007 to visit with my mother and father who had lived here. And one of the first places I came was actually to this building, and I was upstairs in the building, in the main part of the building. I was hanging art for a local artist at the time, Betty Sherborne, and was informed that there was a museum of sorts downstairs. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, it's just through the Feather Your Nest shop. And so I went downstairs and walked around through it by myself, and a couple weeks later I met Eldon, who was running a real estate business out of the building. Mm-hmm. And he had another artist working for him, a local artist, Christina Olson.
Mm-hmm.
And Christina and Betty and myself, I had a really good friendship, and so Christina said, yeah, you ought to have Eldon take you down there because he knows a lot about it. And so I did. And it's an amazing place. If you haven't been yet, I would highly suggest that you come and see that historical museum. There's all kinds of old, neat stuff down there. And if you get a chance to have Eldon walk you through, it's even better.
Well, Eldon is a font of information. In fact, a little bit later on in this podcast, we're going to break and have Eldon tell us some stories. I was fortunate enough yesterday to be able to interview him, and God, he's got some great stories. It's just wonderful. So we'll do a little recap here. Saturday is the event, and what time does it start?
Yeah, Saturday is the event, and it starts at 10 o'clock.
Okay, and here at the Central Building?
Here at the Central Building.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have a self-guided walking tour, which mm-hmm. or driving, and that'll work out real good.
Great.
Jennifer White has put a brochure together, and it's going to be available for people to look at and
Great.
Then visit the different locations that we have designated as historical.
Great.
We're
Excellent.
Also going to have a cake and a ribbon cutting by the mayor of the city of Brookings.
That's at 11 o'clock.
Excellent. Okay.
And we're going to have a group photo of everybody that shows for the ribbon cutting and cake dedication for the building. We'd encourage as many as possible. We'd like to have a full parking lot, and overfull would be even better.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have hopefully some old cars down here, period correct cars. We're going to have a few people that are dressed in the period correct clothing, and
oh, that,
It's going to be a lot of fun. They got a lot of excitement going on, and it doesn't stop there. At the end of the day, at 4 o'clock, at 4:30, they're going to be, Brookings family members will be here in town, and so they're going to do something special at the theater, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit.
Oh, excellent, excellent. All right, we're going to take a little break and listen to Eldon for a while, give us a few stories, and then we will come back and talk with Carolyn and Curtis just a little bit more. So listen on. Thanks.
Well, I've been asked to talk, just talk, and to tell you my Brookings history. And I'll do the best I can do. It actually started in Bahrain, if you can believe that. I was working for the Lockheed Company, and they were building L-1011s, and my job was to sell L-1011s. And also, my big function was introductory support. So my purpose there was to work with the new airlines in the East and the Near East and the Far East, what they would have to have if they bought this airplane and put this airplane into service. Well, that took me to Bahrain and a lot of places in between. I covered England and Germany and the Arab states and Tokyo. I was working with Ansett in Tokyo. When I got a letter from one of the engineers, her name was Nancy, and I can't remember her last name now, but I just got information that there was a new printing company coming out. It was called Postal Instant Press, and I might be interested in buying a franchise for Postal Instant Press. So I decided it was time to come back to Burbank. So I left Bahrain and came back to Burbank, went down to Hollywood, where Postal Instant Press had set up their company. And in fact, I bought a franchise. It was a $47,000 franchise. So then I had to find a place to put it. And to do that, I decided that it had to be a coastal town. I didn't care what town or what state, as long as it was a good town and a coastal town. And I came up Highway 101, and I went through Brookings, but I was pretty busy. I was thinking about a lot of things, and I needed to find a place. I had to find some place. And I finally found it up in Tacoma, at the 38th Street Mall. A filling station had just shut down, and this looked like a really good place to put up printers. So I made a lease with a tentative lease. I didn't leave any money there, but at least I had a home. And I was on my way back to L.A., came back through Brookings, and I just fell in love with the town. I had raised in Colorado, and a tiny town was one of my favorite spots. And I liked ice skating on Evergreen Lake, and I liked skiing on Berthoud Pass and Loveland Pass. So I found all these things in this area. I couldn't ski here. I couldn't do snowshoeing, but I could go to Ashland and do that. So that worked out all right.
What year was that?
That was in 1976. So in 1976, when I got back to L.A., the more I thought about Brookings, the more I decided to come back. So I drove back up to Brookings. And I looked for something to do. And I went to the Chamber of Commerce, and I talked to the girl at the chamber. And she said, and I told her, if I could find something to do in Brookings, I would stay in Brookings. I thought it would be doable. Well, she said, there's two buildings for sale in town. You might consider something like that. And I said, that works into my plans, because what I'd really like is an art gallery. So the two buildings that was for sale was the Chetco Inn. Jim Armour was selling the Chetco Inn and the central building. And the trustees for the Elmer Bankus estate was in charge of selling the building. Well, one thing led to another. I went up and crawled underneath the Chetco Inn, and it was knee deep in water. Water was up to my chin in some places, and bare wires were hanging down underneath there. And the more I looked at it, the more I decided I didn't want the Chetco Inn. Instead, I picked the central building, because I thought if I painted it heritage blue and trimmed it in flat back black, it would make a beautiful art gallery. So that was my plan, and that's the way I started. Now, I started out with a good situation, because Brookings Plywood was the tenant. They were the anchor tenant in the building. Problem was, 3 months after I bought the building, they moved out. So that left me without an anchor tenant. In fact, it left me without any income. Nonetheless, I decided to pursue my art thing. And that turned out to be a disaster, because nobody bought art. It was an art town. We had great artists. But my job, I'm not an artist. I couldn't paint anything if I wanted to. So I was buying art. I bought some Robert Wees. This was good stuff, but I couldn't sell it. And after about 6 months of not making a sale, one Sunday afternoon, I was driving out through Harbor, and I think I was heading down to Crescent City. And I went past the 101 Tavern, and it was filled with cars. So I thought I should go in and see what's attractive in Brookings. And I found it in there. They were playing bingo, they were drinking beer, they were eating deep fried chicken. They had just come out with these big boilers, and everybody was serving boiled chicken, boiled in grease. And everybody was having a really great time, but I said, these are not people that are gonna spend $10,000 for a Robert Wee. So I suddenly realized I had not done my marketing very good. In fact, I hadn't done my marketing at all. I was thinking about myself and what I would like to do, and not what would make me any money. So I had to change my plan. And about that time, I had become friends with the city manager in Brookings. His name was Frank Freeman. And Frank came to me one day and wanted to know if I would go to work for Brookings. He said, you know, we've got a really terrible problem, and our sewer plant has been out of compliance for several years, and nobody's been able to fix it. He said, we've hired people from Chicago, we've hired engineering firm in Coos Bay, and we've had all these people come and try to fix our sewer plant. Nobody's been able to fix it. So I'd like to hire you, and I'd like to have you fix the sewer plant, if you can. So having never worked in a sewer system, I went to Portland, to Clackamas County, and I went to sewer plant school for a couple weeks. And I came back and I went to work for the city of Brookings. This was a big help, because I was getting $890 a month. That was good wages, and I was very happy with that. Bear in mind, this was in 1979. So I went right by the buying the building. I'll go back to that. When I started in the sewer plant, I had no idea. Everybody had to teach me how to run it because I didn't know. And it took about 6 months. And one day, one Sunday morning, bright sunny morning, I went to the sewer plant as usual. I did all my cleaning as usual. And I sit there and I was watching the trickling filter. And the trickling filter wasn't running. And I couldn't understand why it wasn't running. And I watched it, and pretty soon it started running, and it ran for about 5 minutes and it stopped. And I said, now, wait a minute. I've looked at the design. It was designed by Cornell University about 1965, 63. And it was a recirc system. So if it was supposed to be recircing, it should have run for 55 minutes and then stopped for 5 minutes. But it wasn't doing that. It was running 5 minutes and stopped. Monday morning, we went underneath the trickling filter and pulled all the water and everything we could get out of it. I crawled down underneath there, and I tripped over something that was big. I didn't know what it was, so we got a backhoe and a chain, and we pulled it up out of there, and it was about a 4 foot diameter, maybe five. It was a valve that run this trickling filter. And that valve had broke off and was under 5 feet of waste. And we pulled that down and took it down the street to, I can't think of their name right now, but it was half a block down the road. They built a new one for us. We put it in there. The system started working. Now the trickling filter ran for 55 minutes and stopped for 5 minutes. The system started recircing. It came back into control, and we solved that problem.
What was the town like back then?
Well, I thought it was strange, but that I have upset people here from describing it. When I got into town, I was reading the Pilot newspaper, and I was reading under the police log, and they had arrested three men up at the Elks Lodge for letting air out of tires, and the youngest one was 51 years old. And I thought this kind of reminded me of the town, but it also reminded me of the 101 Tavern and where the culture was. And it was really alive, because I decided to make an offer on the building. And of course, Mildred Byrne was one of the trustees, and I'm sorry Mildred Byrne isn't still alive today, because she was a fantastic woman and we became very good friends. And she was a big help to me, because I really didn't know what I was going to do. But when I bought the central building, I also purchased the Brookings Land and Townsite Company. Robert Brookings, in 1914, incorporated the Brookings Land and Townsite Company because they wanted a town. They formed a little company. Now, this was Robert S. Brookings, John Brookings. I'm looking at a photograph of John Brookings over there on the wall. And John Brookings' son, Walter Brookings. Walter Brookings was the Secretary Treasurer. John Brookings was the President. Robert Brookings was the Vice President. And together, they were the Brookings Company, the family affair. they incorporated the Brookings Land and Townsite Company so they could start platting the town. And they named it Brookings. So it wasn't Robert Brookings that gave Brookings the name. It wasn't John, it wasn't Walter. It was the three of them. It was the Brookings Company, Robert, John, and Walter. And that formed the company, and that formed, they in turn said, we are going to build a town, and we will name this town Brookings. And to do that, Robert Brookings incorporated the Brookings Land and Townsite Company, and then Bill Ward with his surveyors, Eccles, went out and surveyed a town, and in 1914, they drew a plat. That was the first plat of the town. Now, they replatted every year. They redrew it because what they started out with was, what was his name? The Maybeck?
Yes.
The Maybeck, yeah. Robert Brookings had hired Maybeck to design a town. And he took the focal point of the town, which was it's where Good Sam is. Mm-hmm. That was the high point of the town, and this town was circled around that point. So that was the original premises for the town, except Maybeck, being from England, he liked roundabouts. So we had about five roundabouts on the first, second, and third plats. And then they took the roundabouts away. I'm sure you know what a roundabout is. That's where everybody comes in and you got to pull over, you got to get in, and then you pull off someplace. I saw a lot of roundabouts in Arabia. The sheikhs would build big roundabouts, and they didn't go anywhere. They just went out into the sand. So they'd get their Rolls Royces, and they'd go around and around and around, and then they'd go off into the sand, and they'd get the camels and pull their cars back up on the roundabouts. But the town started from there, and it was that platting that created the town of Brookings. And it was a decision made by the Brookings Company, the three men that created the town.
Okay, and we are back from listening to Eldon talk. Wasn't that great?
Oh,
God, he's just amazing. The stories the man has.
I just love to listen to him.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy.
In his museum, that's really important. Yes. Everybody see his museum while they hear.
Well, I've spent several times walking around that, and you know, I get lost in there.
Yeah.
The pictures and the old equipment and the tools, and it's remarkable. So let's talk one more time about Saturday. So people should consider getting here at what time?
Okay, they should arrive if they want to at 10 o'clock, because then they can start doing a little bit of the walking tour.
Great.
And then the Central Building Museum will be open.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have art display, and Curtis is going to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, they'll have art displayed, and we had an art contest. It's actually today, we're actually going to be judging the arts that's been handed in, and we had an art contest offering the winner $100 cash.
Oh, that's
and
great.
An invite to our special invite-only gala kickoff mm-hmm. on Friday evening, the 27th, at the Checo Activity Center. Again, that's an invite-only, and so we've invited the short story contest that we put on for the schools.
Great.
And then an art contest open to the public. Anybody who wanted to enter that could enter that. And need to have that art turned in by Wednesday between 10 and 2. So if you haven't done so already, or if you're listening to this after that, I'm sorry, but you missed out. Otherwise, you could win $100. So we'll have that art on display as well.
Great. Excellent. And I noticed that there's a brochure about the walking and driving tour, and it lists all of these places that you can go see. that are historical places. It's just remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot of different places. The Chetco.
Chetco Inn.
Yeah, the Chetco Valley Historical Society Museum out at the edge of town.
It's amazing.
The Chetco Point Park is on the thing, and they have the railroad where the railroad tracks used to run out,
and you can still see some of it.
And you can still see some of the railroad ties and railroad iron themselves.
Yep.
So that's quite amazing. And they did a lot of work down there too lately, and it's really nice down there. I was just down there the other day.
Excellent.
Yeah, we also have at 11 o'clock the museum south of town.
Okay.
Will be open.
Great.
And that'll be open from 12 to 4.
Okay.
Sorry
about that. Great.
12 to 4. And then 11 o'clock is our main ribbon cutting. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the ribbon cutting, and that's where we have the photo, so we're hoping that
right
a lot
here
of
at the central building
show up at 11 o'clock.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. Thank you so much for talking with us, Carolyn and Curtis. Also thank you so much for all of the work you've put in. I'm so looking forward to Saturday. It's just going to be a blast. Can you tell us who is sponsoring this event?
There are several sponsors, and without them, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we're going to be doing. The first one that I have that I wanted to mention was the VFW, some of our larger sponsors, and none are more important than the other, but they did all help us to be able to do this, put this event together. We have Bernie Bishop Mazda, Oregon Coast Realty, the City of Brookings, the Daughters of the American Revolution, Brookings Harbor Chamber of Commerce, Chetco Activity Center, Brookings Signs and Graphics, Creative Works Company, Curry County Cruisers, the Emblem Club, number 265, the Trinity Lutheran Church, Pelican Bay Arts Association, Hardbrook Jewelers, Seaview Senior Living Community, Angels Landing, Pacific Rim Coffee Center, State Farm with Darren Farmer as the agent, Babin Law PC, Redwood Cinema, Feather Your Nest, Les Schwab, Gypsies, and Dottie's Corner. These are all very important, and without them, we couldn't have done this. So we wanted to say a big thank you to all of our sponsors. Thank you so much.